This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Shaning. It's 7:36 a.m., Friday, the 24th of April, day 37 of the Movement Control Order.
It's all blended.
It's all blended together. I counted this out manually like 2 days ago, and I've now forgotten how many days we're in. But we do have a little bit more time left to go, apparently, since this MCO has been extended now until the 12th of May. Mostly expected, I think, right?
Yes. And also today marks the first day of fasting month.
Yes, it is. So to all of our listeners who are observing the Ramadan period, selamat berpuasa. And all the best in this run-up to Raya. It's going to be a very different and probably a more subdued Raya season as well this year.
Definitely. I don't think there's no comparison, right? I mean, we've never had a Raya during a movement control order. I mean, the normal things that people do during Raya, catching up with family and friends, breaking fast together, going to mosque, unfortunately, that's not going to be happening this season.
Yes, because those all require you to be in groups of large people, or in large groups of people, that is. It's a bit unfortunate that this should happen during the festive season, but we can't. Nothing we can do for it now. Best thing is still to keep yourselves, your families, and your friends all safe by staying at home as much as possible. And of course, we are also running on slightly different timing. This MCO looks like we're going to be continuing to do that, starting at 7:30 a.m. for you instead of at 6 as usual. But the breakfast grill's on as always later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. So who are we speaking to today, Shaning?
Well, I'll be speaking to James Kane. He's the managing director for Malaysia and Singapore of one of the largest snack companies in the world, Mondelez International. Now, you might not know what Mondelez is, but actually they're the maker of some of my favourite snacks, I have to say. Twisty, Oreos, Cadbury and Jacobs, that's under their umbrella. So I'm going to be talking to him about how the company has coped during this MCO, whether they have any issues with regards to supply chain and essentially how they're keeping all the shelves full with all these yummy snacks during this time. Because let's face it, there has been a bit of comfort eating.
There has indeed. All right, and that's going to be happening later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Be sure to stay tuned. But right now, we're taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers this morning. Now, the New Straits Times has on its front page a Ramadan of reflection, because with the MCO extended until May 12th, mosques will remain closed. I think the extension of the movement control order is on pretty much the front of every paper. The Malaysian Reserve also says Malaysia extends MCO to May 12th. I think so does the Star, right?
Yeah, two more weeks of MCO. So the byline is the war on COVID-19 rages on. So our Prime Minister, he's extending it to May 12th. And then if I turn to the second page, I think just some headlines in terms of what's going to be happening. Or what was funny to me was our Prime Minister referred to this Facebook group, Masa Apa Tak Jadi Hari Ini. So what dish did not turn out well today? And this Facebook, I think, has something like a million followers, and I'm one of them. And it's hilarious. And I love the fact that Malaysians have this sense of humour that, their disasters in the kitchen are something to be celebrated. And let's face it, we've all had disasters. We're all trying to be some master chef, but of course, not all of us are equally talented. So we have our boo-boos. And you might be feeling stressed, but when you look at this Facebook, it just cracks you up. So it's obviously now so famous because our PMs referred to it. And actually, bigger picture, we'll be talking about this later today, talking to the Facebook group.
I think this is a great idea, honestly, because everyone's stuck at home right now. And it can be, let's face it, it can be really demoralizing to have something that you try turn out really, really terrible. So, what better way to get over that instinctive, like the heart dropping into your shoes, than to make a bit of light of it, to share your this mistake with the rest of the country,
for
a little
good
bit of
laugh
and see that other people are doing the same.
Exactly. Who among us has not made something that when you look at it, you're like, this is a bit of a, what shall I call it? Disaster. I mean, there are no words for it.
I have a disaster sitting on my desk right now. I made some trays of biscuits, and I was so distracted by my phone, by my computer and everything, that I forgot to put eggs in my biscuits. It's a miracle that they still hold their shape. They look really awful, and they're overly sweet, but I'm just dedicated to eating them anyway because I made them and I don't want to waste the ingredients.
I think this MCO, you know, people have really tried all sorts of things, whether it's chapati, bread, kueh, you name it. But, maybe it's a good thing because we look inward and then we find ways to amuse ourselves. Mm-hmm. But with regards to the MCO, I mean, it's official, it's up to May 12th. But what has happened is that, you know, the government is aware that this will have a bearing on the economy. So later on, I think they will come up with more short to medium term packages to kind of get the economy going. The Prime Minister also said that certain sectors and certain subsectors might resume operations subject to strict conditions to ensure the people's health and safety, and there will be detailed guidelines and conditions given to investors and corporate sectors so that they can begin operations at their companies. I guess this is to allow some flexibility in terms of what can open and what can't open. The other news was that some of the university students, I think, will be allowed to eventually return home because I thought as many as 100,000 of them. So I'm not sure exactly what plans are afoot, but he's basically saying that they will eventually return home.
Yeah, if I flip through the Malaysian Reserve on page 2, there are two interesting looking articles. So two companies in China identified to work on COVID-19 vaccine. So that is from the Health Director General, Datuk Dr. Noor Hisham Abdullah. And this is just after the announcement that 9 government hospitals are also going to be taking part in a WHO-led trial of several drugs that could affect this COVID-19 virus. And there's also extended hours for public transportation and wet markets during the month of Ramadan. So certain areas, wet markets selling fresh vegetables, fruits, fish, those will be allowed to operate for an extra 2 hours from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. daily, whereas public transport operating hours will also be from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Now, I am a little bit of a maritime geek as well. So as it happens, that on page 7 of the Reserve, there is South China Sea dispute weighs on the COVID-19 battle. So I haven't had the time to fully read this article, but basically it's just saying that the upheaval caused by the virus presents a new opportunity for Beijing perhaps to stake its claim in the South China Sea. It just goes to show that, you know, as much as we say the rest of the world has ground to a standstill around this pandemic, certain things are still nevertheless do continue. And the government's been caught in a little bit of a tough position because they do also have to balance the rest of international politics in as well as trying to mitigate the effects of a global pandemic.
Yeah. Well, apparently U.S. ships have been sighted around this region too. So I suppose this is a story that we'll continue to follow. Meanwhile, just going back to our, you know, friendly neighbours down south in Singapore, I'm looking at the Singapore Straits Times and I find their paper quite amusing because it's really a reflection of society. And they've done one really cute thing, which is because of this MCO, and they are aware that they have quite a mature society, right? So how are these elderly people getting their essentials? Because, mobility might be an issue, right, for them. So what they have done is that they have created this NTUC, which is their famous local supermarket, the equivalent of Giant, but run by almost by the local cooperative. So what they've done is that they have created these little mini vans, which if you are old enough, you would remember, and some of them still exist, where they go from house to house in a little, like a souped up van or, and then they sell almost all the essentials you need in that van.
Oh, like a mobile grocery store.
Yes. So this is to reach out to the elderly who might find it difficult to get to the supermarket. So all they need to do is come downstairs from their apartment to the void deck. That's the word they use in Singapore, void deck. In the Singapore heartlands, that's another term that Singaporeans use, to buy their daily groceries. I think this is a clever idea because, it doesn't require, you probably know that, okay, you need to be there at what time the van will turn up, but it's definitely a way for people to get what they need if they can't get to the supermarket easily because of their age or for whatever reason. I'm just curious, we used to have a lot of this in Malaysia. I see some very occasionally. It's kind of cute. I wonder whether it will come back in fashion now that, because, you know, let's face it, shopping habits have changed. How we get our groceries will change. And it's also something we are running on our poll today.
Absolutely. So our poll is asking you this morning, hang on, I'm actually not lost to the poll slightly. Where is our poll? There we go. It's asking you, have you changed your shopping habits during this movement control order? Tell us why, tell us how. Do weigh in. That's over on the BFM Twitter account, at BFM Radio. Right now we are heading into some messages though, and then we're coming back with more business stories of the day for you. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wong Shaoding. 7:47 a.m. Friday, the 24th of April. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, the top news, I think, of the day here in Malaysia is that our movement control order has been extended for another 2 weeks. So it's set to end now on May the 12th. So that's another 2 weeks in which to practice your MasterChef ambitions in the kitchen. And if you fail, you post it up on, what's the Facebook site called?
Masa Apa Tak Jadi Hari Ini. I love it. So cute. 1.4 million people have joined this Facebook.
1.4 million?
Yes.
Wow.
That's many. That's how many bad or good cooks there are out there in Malaysia or even beyond. You know, who knows who's joined this Facebook?
I like to think it's 1.4 million cooks with senses of humour.
Yeah, that's true. But basically, our Prime Minister has also kind of said during the press conference that he gave out last evening that he said, I do not discount the possibility of the MCO being further extended after this.
Yeah, so I'm not a huge fan of this. You know, you get close to the deadline and you start to get a little bit excited, but then it's extended for another 2 weeks. And then you finish the 2 weeks and you're like, okay, is it going to be lifted now? And then it's another 2 weeks. I personally would rather have a situation like in Singapore, where they say, okay, this thing's going to be until June the 1st. You got 5 weeks left to go.
Yeah, but Singapore started much later than us. That's the truth. They only went into their lockdown, I think, in the last 2 weeks. And then they made it more difficult a few days ago in terms of what shops had to close, like barbers and bubble tea causing queues. But the point about this is that I guess, you know, as a government, it's that delicate balance, right, whereby you want to ease restrictions because there are psychological impact to a lockdown. There is also economic impact to a lockdown, right? And you're trying to make your decision based on science, on data, and that science and that data is also constantly changing, right? We don't really know what our infection rates will be like tomorrow. There's definitely a trend, and you know, it's been a good trend. Yesterday it went up again slightly, but the numbers are still below 100 every day.
Yes.
I think what's also important is the recovery rate. Is also good news. Our death rate, unfortunately, that you do get one or two every day, most days. So I think until you know for sure, and that's the problem, you don't know for sure. So I think it's very hard for the government to say, okay, for sure, we're going to extend the MCO for 1 month, 2 months. You know, it's one of those things that it's almost daily progression. And you also, as a Prime Minister, get the advice from the Ministry of Health,
yes.
Right? And the feedback from, I suppose, also different ministries. I'm sure the Ministry of Economic Affairs, MITI, all these will be giving feedback in terms of what the companies want, what corporates want, what sectors want. Because the reality is unemployment will increase with every week of an extension of an MCO. The pain felt by the rakyat will be there. If you're a daily wage earner, imagining receiving this news, you wouldn't be so happy, right? You'd be worried.
Yeah, for me, I'm curious as to how we're going to come out of this, right? Because when we talk about the MCO, okay, right now MCO set to end May 12th, but it's not like May 13th, we're going to go right back to normal, right? Because we still won't be able to, the threat of the virus is still going to be there. You're not going to want to be in large crowds of people. You're not going to want to go to restaurants, for example. So the government is also going to have to continue to restrict these sorts of movements. How will they start to do it? And I think there are some countries around the world that have already introduced these kind of relaxation measures. Germany is one of them. But the question now is whether or not Germany's states are perhaps kind of putting the cart before the horse a little bit, right? Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, has already said that parts of the country maybe even be rushing their exit from a lockdown. Now, Germany has the fifth highest number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the world, and they have managed to keep their death toll at just over 5,000, which is much less than the other European countries. But Nevertheless, you know, they've already taken steps to announce that, okay, you know, commercial spaces that are under 800 square meters will open. Barbershops, gardening stores, bookstores will all start to open in an effort to preserve their economy and ensure that these small businesses don't go under. But are they doing it too soon?
Yeah, it's that, you know, like I keep saying this whole week, it's that trade-off, right, between life, health, death and economy. And also, I think now there's a little bit more of discussion in terms of the psychology of a lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Because data has shown, and I was listening to this podcast this morning, what happens is that in the early part of the lockdown, in the first week, I think people don't follow the rules because the rules are so alien to them. Then by the second to the fourth week, they get very obedient. They realize the consequences. And it worked with us because we had to be very strict with our MCO laws, right? We fine people 1,000. What are you doing moving around at midnight to go to the ATM? Things like that. We really clamped down. And there was this behavioral change. But the point is, it's also human nature that after a while, and this is seen in Germany and UK, as they move into their fourth, fifth, sixth week, they also saw more people disobeying the rules. There was more traffic.
Fatigue starts to set in.
Yeah, fatigue sets in. So there's
has been more traffic on the roads.
Well, I'm
KL
hoping
here.
It's because there are more essential services added to that list.
One hopes.
So that, you know, all this requires some balance. And I think the European governments are trying to find that perfect fit. But there is no perfect fit because we are literally making up the rules as they come along. Because who knows? I mean, Germany's already decided that, you know, they're going to start schools in early May, which, mm-hmm. you know, and some of the, you know, academics argue or scientists argue this is the right move because children seem to, you know, don't catch coronavirus so easily and the death rate among them is really low. So, yeah, you're making these really difficult decisions based on science.
Yeah, I guess the difficulty with the idea of reopening schools is that, yes, these children may not suffer so badly from the coronavirus, but they could take it home to their parents and they could take it home to their aged family members.
Yeah, that's the argument you see, because yes. In Europe, you generally don't live with your aged parents unless you're talking about Southern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Northern European states, they tend to be very small family members. And then this is the science that comes in. Because you are a parent of young children, you are probably young yourself. And hence, you can survive this COVID-19 coronavirus. Yes, this is the kind of logic that goes behind people's thinking. I'm not sure whether it makes any sense because you think, are you really playing with people's lives when you make these decisions? But I guess there are no easy decisions at this moment.
No, there really aren't. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about the European economy later on at about 8:45 with comments from Simon Baptist, who's Global Chief Economist at the Economist Intelligence Unit. So be sure to stay tuned for that conversation later in just under an hour. But now we're also taking a look at what's been happening in the US, because President Donald Trump's handling of the coronavirus crisis has left many voters undecided about who to vote for come November. According to a recent Fox News poll, 16% of voters are now undecided compared to 5% just 3 weeks ago. Now, another poll by 538 found that over 50% of Americans disapprove of Trump's response to the outbreak. He has been encouraging governors to resume normal social and business lives. And he also temporarily suspended immigration earlier this week via a tweet. As you do if you're President Donald Trump. So under normal circumstances, this might be a good opportunity for his rivals to come to the fore, right? So Joe Biden is the presumptive Democratic nominee. But as rallies are out of the question and Biden's campaign is limited to several live streams a week, how is he going to capitalize on this situation? It's going to be really tough.
Yes. Well, if I was him, I'd just capitalize on whatever Trump said, which was fake news. And, the way he handled this national crisis or international crisis. And I've seen some of Biden's campaign videos and they're very, very clever. They're really looking at Trump's handling of this and his, you know, the fact that he kept changing his tune. First, it wasn't a problem. It's just a flu, nothing to panic about. And then later on, taking credit for the lockdown. So I suppose that will be pretty much the strategy. But in terms of numbers, the number of people who said they're extremely interested in the November election, however, has dropped from 55 to 48%. So on the flip side, because you're so caught up in the daily news of the coronavirus, you're also so worried about, you know, things going on in your own life, whether you have a job, whether, you know, your family's going to be safe. It may be difficult for you to pay attention to what's happening on the political front, actually.
I don't know, you know, because I'm just imagining if we were to have such an election here, right? Like if we had a GE scheduled for middle of this year, and this was happening right smack dab in the middle of this coronavirus crisis, I think that I would probably have very little else to do but to watch coverage of the election and the campaign. I mean, in South Korea also recently had elections, national elections, and they saw a huge turnout, even despite social distancing measures and, you know, concerns over the spread of this virus. It could be that people have no daily work to distract them. They don't have any other concerns. They basically are sitting at home with the TV on for the most part. So you may find more interest spurring when it comes to the campaign elections and campaign speeches.
Maybe. And so let's bear in mind, it's only April, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got what? May, June, July, August, September, October, November, 7 months to go. So if anything, the campaign will really start heating up, I suppose, during the summer. You know, both sides will be spending a lot of money on TV ads because that's one way to reach out to people. So yeah, no more mm-hmm. rallies, but a lot of interesting TV commercials and videos. And I think social media will be huge. What I will be curious about, and this is just from like the geek in me, how are they going to conduct elections in the US? Because they've never really been very big on postal votes, and it's something that Trump doesn't want, because if anything, his voter base aren't the type that would actually participate in a postal vote. But let's see, you know, these are different times.
They still have 7 months to figure it out, and we'll be watching them very closely for tips and tricks, I'm sure, as will the rest of the world, if this coronavirus crisis continues. Right now, we are heading, though, into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, we're having the breakfast grill, where Shaning speaks with James Kane, Managing Director for Malaysia and Singapore at Mondelez International. So stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.